Your name, please?
Clifford P. Morehouse.
And your occupation and position?
I'm vice president of Morehouse Barlow Company of New York, book publishers. Also president of the House of Deputies of the Episcopal Church.
Mr. Morehouse, many people feel that organized religion is not necessary for their practice of a good faith. How do you feel about this?
My viewpoint is that organized religion is very important. If it were not for this, the Christian faith would have died out many years ago.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Clifford P. Morehouse, President of the House of Deputies of the General Convention of the Protestant Episcopal Church, Vice President and Secretary of the Morehouse Barlow Publishing Company, and author of the current book, A Layman Looks at the Church. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Clifford P. Morehouse. What function does organized religion have for an individual's expression of his faith?
Organized religion is a term that is rather frightening, I think, because it seems to set up a great bureaucracy. This is not what the church is intended to be or what at its best it is. Rather, it is the strand that carries on the faith from the earliest days to the present time. The church is a family, and all of us are members of it by virtue of baptism or the initiation rites of whatever religion we may profess. It is not just something that is an individual thing, it's corporate as well.
Why is it necessary that a person should go to church for worship? Why can't he just simply worship wherever he happens to be?
He can worship wherever he happens to be, although he doesn't often do so outside of church, perhaps. In the truest sense, a person doesn't go to church. He is a part of the church. He is the church. He goes to church in order to get the strength and the power and the inspiration to carry on his daily life, wherever it may be.
Do you think the people who go to church connect their worship in church with all of the things that go on in the rest of life?
I certainly think that they should, and I think increasingly they are, because of the leadership of the pulpit in relating church activities to real life, which is where the layman really lives his life out in the world.
Do you think there's any danger in a church which becomes organized of becoming over-organized?
There is always this danger. There's also the danger that it will divorce itself from the life of the people. That the preacher, for example, will talk about things that are irrelevant to him or that seem to be irrelevant to him.
What can the church do about it?
In my opinion, the laity are the church. They are the bulk of the church. They are the reason for which the church exists. I think it's important that they bear in mind that they are the, what you might call, the cutting edge of the church. It's not just what they hear in church or the prayers that they say, it's what they do with these things, the way they orient their life, that is really important.
Do you think that in this rapidly changing world of today that the laity are having difficult problems that are perhaps new to them in connecting their faith with their daily life?
Yes, I do, although I think people today are more inclined to think in terms of ultimate values. We live, after all, under the threat of possible destruction of the world. We live in a time of change, of social revolution. In these times, people think more deeply about what religion means to them and what effect it can have on their lives.
Do you think in our culture and civilization today that there are unchristian or unreligious forces at work?
Oh, of course there are. There always have been. The world is often set over against the church, and yet we must remember that the church is in the world, and the duty of the church is to live in the society in which it finds itself, but not simply to take it for granted, but to try to transform it and give it an inner spirit.
Do you think that people are finding truth, God's truth, in places other than in the church?
I do indeed. The search for truth is not confined to the church. It permeates society. God's truth is a truth that applies to the whole of the world and the whole of the universe, if you will, and not just to any organized form of religion.
Do you think that the organized form of religion should be happy that God's truth is being revealed in so many different ways outside of its doors?
Of course it should, and it should point to these ways, point toward them. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't. The tendency of any organization, a church organization as well as any other, is to be ingrowing. The important thing is to turn it outward toward the world, outward toward society, and toward the problems of our day.
Do you see anything as you look to the future, any changes that are coming about in the church body at large?
Well, yes, of course. For one thing, Christians of different backgrounds are talking with each other, are understanding each other. We call this the ecumenical movement. For another, they are trying to get together in some form of united witness before the whole world. Also, this is not confined just to Christianity. There's more and more what you might call ecumenical conversation between, not only between Roman Catholics and Protestants, but between Christians and Jews. A growing realization that those who believe in God and who guide their lives by this fact have far more in common with each other than their surface differences would seem to indicate.
Do you think God puts any pressure on churches to seek to get together?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure that this whole ecumenical movement, this whole idea of coming together, is of God and response to his leadership.
Do you think that if the churches do come together, that there will be one large organization?
Not a large organization in the sense that you have exactly the same kind of service in every community, the same kind of discipline, and so on. I'm hopeful that there will be more and more agreement on fundamentals and as great a diversity, perhaps, now as we have now in the non-essentials, in the ways of worship, and in the social aspects of religion.
What do you think, Mr. Morehouse, is going to be the relationship between the Christian churches and other religions such as the Islamic religion?
Of course, there's a great revival of religion among Hindus, among Muslims and others. I think there will be a greater understanding, I hope, between these faiths. I don't think there'll ever be an amalgamation of them because they're based on a totally different premise. But they should be cooperating and not competing. Again, I say they have more in common with each other than any of them have with, we'll say, communism or with atheism or with secularism.
Mr. Morehouse, when people go into the church, do you think that they are looking for the church members to be close to perfect?
Well, no. At least I don't think they should be looking for it because they won't find it if they do. The church is not intended for people that are perfect. The church is intended for people that are sinners, that know of their own inadequacies, but that are trying to do better. This is the hallmark of the true Christian, or the true member of any faith that's centered in God, that he lives his life in such a way as to help others to be better people.
Mr. Morehouse, do you find that in the living of the faith, in the family, that there are new problems arising, which perhaps allow for greater growth, but greater challenge?
Yes, there are new problems. Actually, when we look at them, they're probably old problems. The way of bringing up children, the way of living the Christian life in the family. You know, if we can't get along with the members of our own family, how do we expect to get along with other people outside? If we can't have peace at home, how do we expect to have peace in the world?
What kind of things would a Christian family do that would get across to the young people that religion and the Christian faith is important to the adults?
One thing, I suppose, perhaps the most important thing, is that the life in their own home shall be a Christian life, that it have recognition of prayer, perhaps in grace at meals or in the bedtime prayers of the children. Then I think it should be, religion should be presented within the family as something that is a family activity for the whole family. If the father, for example, drops the child at Sunday school and goes off to play golf all day, what's the child to conclude? That golf is more important than that the church is just for children. If he's ever going to outgrow this childish concept of religion, he has to see that it has a powerful influence on his parents and on his older brothers and sisters. and not just something that's for the kindergarten.
Mr. Morehouse, from your close association with the publishing industry, do you find that people, by and large, are interested in so-called religious books?
Yes, they are. Any publisher will testify that the growth of sales of religious books is phenomenal in the past few years. And almost every publisher who formerly had nothing but fiction and other textbooks and that sort of thing is bringing out religious books because he finds there's a great demand for them.
Do you think there's anything in the environment around us or the life around us that's causing this to be? Are people searching harder than they were, or what?
I think they are. I think people generally are just, as I said before, are more thoughtful, more concerned about the direction in which the world is going and how they're going to fit into the new world of science and nuclear physics and all these new challenges with which we're faced today.
Mr. Morehouse, do you find that there's any particular kind of book or books that people are more interested in than they are in other kinds?
There are, of course, certain things that appeal very widely. The peace of mind type of book does, and sometimes people are looking for the kind of easy life and easy results of religion that they aren't going to find, because religion is a challenge. You have to work at it. You can't just recite certain formulas and do certain things and have peace of mind. You really have to work at it if you're going to get results, as you do in any other field.
Are people turning to the books that urge them on to facing the seriousness of what they're trying to find?
I think they are. We call them in the trade how-to-do books. And if it's a book that teaches people how to meet the particular crisis with which he's faced, whether it's illness or death in the family, whether it's how to conduct his business in a Christian way, these are the books that are selling.
Do you think that people have a great reservoir of religious strength?
They do indeed, but a lot of them are living on what you might call accumulated capital, a religion that other people have built up and that they are just using. They always expect the church to be there, you know, when they need it. If they want to be married, if they want to be buried, they expect it to be there. But a great many people don't realize that it won't be there unless they support it in the meantime.
Mr. Morehouse, what are the satisfactions you get from your work?
I think the principal satisfaction I get is feeling that what I am doing is worthwhile, that it's important. This is not particularly because it's related to the church, although in my case that's a factor, but I think anyone who believes that he is doing a job that's important and that he's doing it to the best of his ability is going to find satisfaction in that work. And if he doesn't find satisfaction in his work, he's not likely to find it anywhere.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clifford P. Morehouse, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
Thank you.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Clifford P. Morehouse, President of the House of Deputies of the General Convention of the Protestant Episcopal Church, Vice President and Secretary of the Morehouse Barlow Publishing Company, and author of the current book, A Layman Looks at the Church.